Welcome to Growing Up Boomer. I'm your host, Padre, with my co-host, Cotton. And this podcast is dedicated to the life and times of the baby boomer generation. The show is loosely scripted, and sometimes we'll go down rabbit holes, and where it leads us to, one will never know. This podcast can be informative, funny, and sometimes irreverent. But most of all, we hope you find it entertaining. Hey, Cotton, how you doing, my man?
I am doing fine, Padre, and yourself?
Oh, man, I cannot complain. But you know what they say about old age?
What's that?
It's old age comes wisdom and early bird specials. At Denny's, right?
That's right.
Oh, you know this weekend is Easter weekend.
Yes, of course. We got people coming and
Oh, how wonderful. And did you know that the earliest recording of an Easter celebration is in the second century?
Really?
Yeah, for the resurrection of Christ. Yes. Probably took place a lot earlier than that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
If you go over into the pagan, it occurred a heck of a lot earlier than that. But there's a gentleman by the name of Saint Bede, the Venerable, was in the 6th century author who wrote ecclesiastical history of the English people, maintains that the English word Easter comes from Iesto or Iesta, the Anglo-Saxon goddess of spring and fertility.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Huh. Now, normally in the pagan days, it was around the equinox, where the day and the night are almost equal in time. The approximate equal length of day and night, which usually happens in September 20th and March 20th, around that time.
Hmm.
And so the traditions, Easter eggs and egg rolling and egg decorating, they believe sometimes go all the way back to the Egyptian times.
Oh, wow. That's wild.
Well, because they believe that the egg is a representation of fertility.
Hmm.
Now, they say the first chocolate egg first appeared in the court of Louis XIV in Versailles. To me, I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Now, the Easter bunny, right? Or
okay.
they call it the Easter rabbit or Easter hare, is a folklore figure from a symbol of Easter depicted as a rabbit.
Uh-huh.
You know, sometimes they dress him up in clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He brings eggs to kids, originated in Germany. Did you know that?
No.
The Easter bunny originated with German Lutherans.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, get this. Of course, being in Germany,
mm-hmm.
you could only get the eggs or the toys or the candy if you were good.
Oh, okay? Yeah. Just like
Christmas. Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Naughty or nice. You got to earn these eggs. So, you know, you got to earn them. So, and it is believed that when the Germans were migrating to America, they brought that custom with them.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll get this. Even in Germany, some of the old churches have carvings of rabbits in groups of three, which represents the Holy Trinity.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Now that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So that way, and over time, the rabbits changed to the Easter bunny. You know. So.
Well, my dad played them once at the kids' school. And he poured up the mask and made the mask, and it's still, I have it now, and it is horrifying. And all the kids just started crying. And
what was it, like a killer bunny or what?
Oh, it's just, it's like scary looking.
Oh, man. Oh, Cotton, by the way, I got a story for you, my man.
Oh, great, a story.
Oh, yeah. This one will crack you up. Here we go. Are you ready for this? This is the headline. Rats at New Orleans police headquarters getting high on seized marijuana.
Whoa.
Get this. Okay. This is from the AP on March 14th. Okay. New Orleans Police Department officials say the rats infesting the department's headquarters are all high from eating marijuana stored in the evidence room. Yeah, right. Police Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick told the city council's criminal justice committee, the building is infested with cockroaches and rats, and the rodents in particular seem to be having a good time destroying evidence.
Yeah.
The rats eating our marijuana, they're all high, Kirkpatrick told the committee during this week's meeting. Yeah. Kirkpatrick, spoke in support of a $7.6 million proposal to temporarily locate the police headquarters to a leased space in downtown building for 10 years while exploring a permanent solution to the current building's numerous issues, which are not limited to pests.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Get this. We all know the facility has been run down, the Criminal Justice Committee Chairman Oliver Thomas told WDSU-TV. Last year, it was so hot, we had to close the buildings. Sometimes it's so cold that the officers and the rank of the headquarters can't even occupy the buildings. Yeah, exactly. Gilbert Montoya, the city's chief administrative officer, told the committee the relocation proposal would be considerably cheaper than the estimated $30 million it would cost to fix the current headquarters.
Oh, man.
Now, as far as the rats are concerned and the cockroaches, get an exterminator. Right?
They won't have anything to blame on stealing that marijuana.
Oh, and they're eating the confiscated cash, too. They're eating all the cash. And the other officers' lunches. We don't understand it. Oh, man. Okay. Hey, Cotton, why do you say we get into our podcast?
Sounds like a winner.
Okay. And the podcast is about some of the programs, but we used to watch on Saturday morning TVs, which were actually kind of reruns. They were made for regular TV, and they became reruns. Oh, by the way, speaking of reruns, you know who used to do the first reruns?
Three Stooges?
No. We're talking TV now.
Oh, TV. Okay. TV.
Because remember, there was no reruns back then except one program, and that was I Love Lucy. If you remember, in the old days, you had the winter and spring where the TV, that's when they brought out the new programs. And then in summer, they put replacement programs in. Well, I Love Lucy was so popular that they called them rebroadcasting. And you know the way you could tell the difference between a first run I Love Lucy and the rebroadcast I Love Lucy?
What's the difference?
The logo on the first run was a sign that said I Love Lucy, and it had two little like stick figures with one had the head of Desi Arnaz and the other one had the head of Lucille Ball.
Yep, I remember that, yeah.
The rebroadcast was the heart, the one you see now with the heart with the arrow.
Oh, yeah.
So that determined if it was a first run or a rebroadcast.
Oh, wow, I never knew that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Interesting little trivia that means absolutely nothing. Oh, but these programs I would watch endlessly. The first one, I don't know if you remember, it ran from 1955 to 1960, and it started to come on Saturday morning about 59, Fury.
Fury.
Fury. It was about a horse.
Oh.
Yeah, the horse was on the Broken Wheel Ranch.
Huh.
And guess who starred in it? Peter Graves.
Really?
Yeah, before his Mission Impossible days.
Yeah.
He was Jim Newton, Fig Newton.
Fig.
Okay, this troubled orphan he adopts, mm-hmm. And what ends up happening is he doesn't fit in or anything like this, but there's a horse that's called Fury, and the reason why he's called Fury because nobody can break the horse.
Oh.
Okay, and so, but this kid somehow is given the responsibility to for old Black Beauty here, Fury, right? And the horse likes him. He's the only person that can ride him. And at the end of every episode, the bad guy tries to get away by jumping on this horse. Okay, and you know what happened.
fucks them right up.
That's right. You know, so Fury always, and I love that one. That was awesome. The other one was, which I did not watch too much, but was My Friend Flicker. And that was the same thing,
yes.
Except it was based on a movie. If you remember, the movie was like in 1943. You see it in black and white. And it was basically the same thing. But Flicker always helped out. And it wasn't about bad guys. It was more like Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, we watched that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great one.
Oh, yeah. 1956 to 1958. And in 58, it became a something to look at on Saturday morning.
Yeah. So
that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you'll remember this one. I used to watch this one all the time. It was like F Troop with a Dog. The Adventures of Rin Tin Tin.
Rin Tin Tin.
164 episodes from 54 to 59.
Yeah.
And this is about another orphan who was orphaned because of an Indian raid. The Native Americans killed off his family.
Yeah.
And so he becomes like the mascot of this troop of the Old West, right? This cavalry troop. And he has the German Shepherd called Rin Tin Tin because Lassie had been such a big success, the movies with Lassie. Uh-huh. So they wanted to capitalize on that. So they did Rin Tin Tin. And you remember when he said, "Oh, Rennie, go Rennie." Oh, man. Oh, I just love that one. Oh, and Sergeant Prescott of the Yukon. That was another one.
I don't remember.
Oh, but again, like I said, these were on in the late 50s when I was a very impressionable young man.
And I was just a baby.
You were just a baby. I'm already watching cartoons, you know, sitting in front of the TV, having my brain be melted away. All right. I didn't watch this one too much because it was kind of boring because there was not that many people in there. It was like on a closed set type of thing. And it was always the Mounties, right? And his big line, every time he caught his criminal, was, "You are under arrest in the name of the crown."
Oh, okay. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. And then he would always turn to his dog. His dog was Yukon King. That was his dog. The main dog. He'd have all the huskies. The other huskies didn't have a name. He'd just go King, go huskies. And he'd always tell that dog, "King, looks like another case is closed." Oh, I think you know this one. This one I used to watch religiously. Sky King.
Yeah, I never did.
Oh, okay. Well, again, like I said, it was only 72 episodes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was only on for 2 years. But man, they rode that pony till it dropped Saturday morning.
Well, I know my brothers and sisters, or his sister used to watch it all the time.
Yeah, and I'm sure because they're probably the same age as I am. Because you're the young one, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm the baby.
Yeah, I love that one. Sky King. Remember, oh, you probably don't remember, the name of the plane, the Songbird.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. And they'd always have that opening sequence when that plane's coming in and it just right over the camera.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a Western with an airplane.
Yeah.
That basically was it. A Western with an airplane. Oh, of course, when we had the Adventures of Robin Hood, that was okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that was all. I just never was enamored by seeing men in tights, you know?
At least he had a feather in his hat.
Yeah. Oh, and there was another one, a circus boy. They tried that one for a little bit. About 49 episodes. You probably remember that one. And then, they always had the elephant. Instead of a dog, they decided to put an elephant in there. Yeah. I mean, you know, how tough is it for an elephant? I mean, you could have done monkeys.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to train monkeys.
How much fun is it to have a dog in a circus?
Yeah. We can't have a dog in the circus. But, oh, yeah, that was quite interesting. That one was okay. I just really didn't. But, Cotton, I'm telling you right now, my favorite. As a kid growing up, The Long Ranger.
Oh, yeah. With Tonto.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. That was awesome. Until
It had to have run for quite a while.
It ran from 1949 to 1957, 221 episodes.
Wow.
Yep.
And they had two Long Rangers.
Yeah.
Yeah, Clayton Moore was the big guy, but what happened, they had a contracting dispute. So during the middle, between, I think it was like 54 to 56, they had someone else play the Long Ranger.
I wonder who took his place.
I don't know. I have to. It'll come to me. We'll be in the middle. We'll be in the middle of the podcast. Oh, I remember. It was this guy. Yeah. It doesn't come to mind, but I know the brain now is clicking. Okay, it's going like, who is it? Because I used to love that program. The problem that I had is that they finally did the last 1957 in color. The minute I saw it in color, it was over for me.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, the Long Ranger wearing a powder blue outfit.
Yeah.
That does not look Western to me.
Yeah.
What cowboy wears a, it's like a baby blue, like a turquoise almost. What cowboy wears that?
Yeah,
jeez. And Ohio Silver.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, that was great. Hey, did you know that's that the Long Ranger actually started as a radio program?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
my dad used to talk about it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, 1933. You know, it was you're right. It was very, very popular. I mean, one of the most popular ever. And then I like the Tonto. What was it?
Yeah.
Kemosabe.
Kemosabe, yeah.
Yeah, the Kemosabe, which means supposedly either trusted scout or faithful friend.
Hmm.
Yeah. And then the other thing is that there was guidelines when they were doing the Long Ranger.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. He could never drink. He could never smoke. His grammar had to be perfect. No slang or anything like that.
Wow.
Yeah. He had to wear the mask at all times, and he never referred to himself as the Long Ranger.
Wow.
Amazing, huh?
I just got a flashback that there was I guess it was a Alpha Beta that was down in Linwood.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, they'd have people show up, like stars.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of them. Yeah, they had they had him come out and had the horse and everything and brought it out, and everybody was getting autographs and stuff.
Oh, see?
That was the good old days.
Yeah. Yeah. They used to do that a lot. You're right. You're absolutely right. Because since he did have a Native American scout, he very rarely battled non-Americans.
Oh.
It was always the white evil outlaws.
Wow.
And then get this. The term Tonto,
mm-hmm.
right? You remember Tonto? Which means wild one. But the problem is, it means something different in Spanish.
Tonto.
Tonto.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tonto. Meaning either silly or stupid. So they had to change the name whenever they did programming down in Mexico or any Latin countries. His name was Toro.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, Cotton, it's the same thing like when they did Nova, Chevy Nova in Mexico, that they had to change the name because Nova in Spanish means a slang for no-go. So, you know, in Latin, it's new, but in Spanish, it's a slang for no-go. So they had to change that out, man. Hey, you know, on the radio station on the Long Ranger, his first horse was named Dusty.
Really?
Yeah. Wasn't Silver. It was Dusty. And the way he required Silver was that he saved Silver from a buffalo stampede. In which case, Silver, the horse, would just follow him everywhere.
Huh.
So then he became the Long Ranger's horse, Silver. All right. And then you had Tonto. Not Tonto, Tonto. His horse was named Scout. Yeah. But before he got Scout, it was White Feather. F-E-L-L-E-R. And that was before he got Scout. And in the cartoons in 1966, remember they used to have Long Ranger cartoons on TV?
Yeah.
He also had an eagle. Did you know that?
No.
By the name of Taka. Yeah, so it was Fly Taka on Scout was the big catchphrase.
Wow. That's probably why they got rid of him.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, did you know this? That the Green Hornet was the grandnephew of the Long Ranger.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, his name was, the nephew's name was Dan Reed. And it was the brother of the Long Ranger. See, as you can tell, I'm a big Long Ranger fan.
I guess.
You know, now, the Long Ranger ambushed by outlaws. There were six of them. One of them was his brother. They were all killed except the Long Ranger. Tonto finds him, brings him back to health, and he makes the mask out of his dead brother's vest.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
You remember Clayton Moore?
Yeah.
You remember that he always appeared as a Long Ranger?
Yeah.
He wouldn't give up the mask. If you remember, there was a big lawsuit against him.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, remember? Remember that? He had to wear sunglasses for a while because the ABC said, no, you can't wear them because you don't have the rights to the mask.
Is that why?
Yeah, okay. That's the reason why. But of course, you know that all the fans backed him. They were going like, nah, we ain't having none of this. You know, we ain't having none of this. And because of the outcry, they finally dropped the suit, I think, in 1985. I mean, he took that mask to his grave. Oh, and Cotton, did you know that on the Hollywood Walk of Fame that Clayton Moore star has the Long Ranger on it?
Oh.
Yeah. And did you know this? There are six Long Ranger movies.
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The last one was with Johnny Depp.
Really?
It was a bomb. I even try to watch it. You know, me being a big Long Ranger. The first two actually had Clayton Moore in it.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, it was awesome. I mean, you know, for little kids and stuff like that. I mean, you know, they made them in like 61 and I think 58 and 61. And they'd come out on reruns on Channel 13 during the 60s. All right. So, you know, that was great. But what happened is that the Johnny Depp one was a complete bomb. It was really bad. I think if you got the Disney Channel, I think you could still see it.
Well, I'm not a big Depp fan anyway.
So. Oh, I think he's a great actor.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah. Well, so you look at some of his old movies. You look at some of his old movies, and he's very, very good. But then he's, you know, he's gotten lately. It's kind of like Robert De Niro. Remember, he was a great actor, and then what ends up happening is that they just can't find any parts anymore.
Yeah,
those things happen.
Yep.
Not much you can do about that, right? And remember, the Long Ranger always handed out a silver bullet. That's all he ever used was silver bullets.
Right.
And the Johnny Depp movie, they actually considered putting werewolves in it.
What?
There was an idea floated that there should be a werewolf in the movie. You know, because since silver bullets kill the werewolf.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I guess.
And including the radio station and all the movies and all the cartoons, there's like 18 different actors that actually portrayed the Long Ranger.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, did you know this about Clayton Moore? Before he became the Long Ranger, was a circus acrobat.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Plus, he also served in the armed forces.
Huh.
Yeah, you know, everybody probably at that age served back then, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know what, Cotton, about the Long Ranger, and we'll bring this one to a close.
Okay.
First of all, the music. Right? You remember the music on the Long Ranger when he first started?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Hi-oh, Silver! Away! That was from the William Tell Overture.
Yeah.
That is one of those theme songs. It's kind of like Bosom Buddies.
Yeah.
You will always remember. Or the Munsters.
Yeah.
Right? Or the Addams Family.
What was that one?
Snap fingers. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. It's one of those that you'll always remember. It's in your head and you can't get it out.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, this will be the last thing we talk about before we can end this podcast here. Okay. It is said that the Lone Ranger was based on Zorro and Robin Hood. Exactly. I hear your pause. I said, wait a minute. He didn't give money to the poor. Right? He rescued. He caught the bad guys. And, you know, I mean, so it was completely different. Most people believe, and I believe this, that his basic character was Bass Reeves. Bass Reeves was a slave before the Civil War, and he fought for the Confederacy, was forced to fight for the Confederacy. He then goes to Oklahoma. He escapes, and he goes to indigenous territory, in other words, the Indian territory. He learns about, I think it was 3 or 4 different Native American languages during that time. So that makes it, and then he's promoted as a marshal, the first black U.S. marshal.
Huh.
Yeah, this guy was awesome. The book, I think it's called Black Gun and Silver Star. And you know how the Lone Ranger always gave like a silver bullet as his calling card?
Oh, yeah.
Bass Reeves used to give a silver token. When he would tell stories to kids and stuff like that, he would give them a silver token. Oh, yeah. Cool. Now, this guy was awesome, okay? This Bass Reeves?
Yeah.
He is credited for arresting over 3,000 felony arrests in 35 years. 3,000!
Wow.
I mean, that's a lot. And he still had 11 kids. I think it was like 11 kids. Yeah, I mean, the guy can't be, he's not at home that much. But he was awesome. I mean, this guy with more disguises. He actually had an Indian scout. I think his name was Billy Crow.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They have a special on him, or a program on him, on Paramount Plus, Bass Reeves Lawman. It's pretty good. It started off real good, but near the end, he's moody. They don't really go over all the stuff that he really did. And this is a killer. This guy makes the indigenous territory for Oklahoma safe. Then they pass discrimination laws, and he can't eat in restaurants that he made the area safe for. It amazes me. I am just flabbergasted by that. You make the area safe, and then, okay, you can't eat in this restaurant. I'm sorry. Amazing. Well, other than that, Cotton, I think maybe we should bring this one to a close, buddy. We're running a little long.
All right.
All right, my man. You have a great one, okay?
You too, Padre.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Nos vemos después.
We'd like to thank you for listening and leave you with this one quote from Bass Reeves. Maybe the law ain't perfect, but it's the only one we got. And without it, we got nothing. Until next time, may God bless.